50 First Dates. Written by Foolish Mortal. Narrated by Rhea314. Fandom: XXXHolic. Rating: Teen and Up Audiences. No archive warning supply. Relationship: Dōmeki Shizuka / Watanuki Kimihiro. This is what hell feels like, Dōmeki thinks, as he eats his 1,000th chocolate banana. It's just the kind of horrible joke that Yuko would love. This is what he was really paying for when he carried Watanuki into the shop in his arms and swore on his family's blood and half his eye that he would pay a fair price to restore him to health. And the dimension which coolly took in the bloodied, unnaturally still body of her employee and... All right, let's make a bargain. But she was looking at Dōmeki when she said it. She looked right into the selfish darkness of his heart and saw what he really wanted. And then, worst of all, she gave it to him. Hi, Watanuki interrupts, and sits down next to him on the temple steps. Their knees knock together as he scoots over to make space for a family climbing the stairs with their toddler. Watanuki makes a face at the baby until it laughs. You're good at that, Dōmeki says, hopelessly charmed. Huh? Watanuki ducks his head and shrugs. Ah, you know, I used to babysit my landlady's granddaughter sometimes. Kids are easy to please. Of course you're good with kids, Dōmeki mutters. Eh, what was that? Nothing. Here, I brought you Ichigo Daifuku. The problem starts on April 1st. The problem always starts on April 1st. Because it's always April 1st. They follow a predictable pattern. Watanuki shows up at his kyudo demonstration looking starstruck, because there is nothing Dōmeki apparently wants more than to impress him. And then they walk around the festival side by side, trading bites of each other's snacks and goofing around. Watanuki goggles at all the festival activities he's missed his entire life, and Dōmeki buys him all the strawberries he wants. What's all this? Watanuki asks every time, as if he can't believe anyone would do something as extravagant as treat him to a few chocolates. And every time, Dōmeki says, It's your birthday. And what Dōmeki means is, I would buy this for you any time you wanted, if you always smiled at me like that. And Dōmeki wants to say, I'll put an arrow through the person that treated you so badly that you look surprised whenever anything nice happens to you. And Dōmeki thinks, God, I like you so much. The problem is that he entered the shop and let Yuko listen to his soul, and it said, I want him, I want him, I want him, I would do anything. And Yuko puffed her pipe and smiled. Loop number 50 is surprisingly the hardest. He would have guessed it would be loop 2, the one where he wakes up and it's April 1st a second time, and he has to go through the motions of normalcy while desperately trying to figure out what the hell is happening. But the Dōmeki clan have a knack for compartmentalizing. Loops 3 to 20 are a mix of making sure not to say anything weird in front of Watanuki, and using every bit of his spare time going through his grandfather's library trying to find an answer. There are moments when Dōmeki looks at Watanuki's open, laughing face and wonders if he should say something. On loop 30, he thinks to hell with it, and spends the entire evening showing Watanuki the kusiage booths. He notes that sweet potato and octopus are two of Watanuki's favorites, and teaching Watanuki to shoot a toy rifle. Watanuki is hopeless but a good sport, and his warm weight against Dōmeki's chest is so distracting and wonderful that Dōmeki forgets a lifetime of training and nearly shoots someone's eye out. In the next loop, he wins Watanuki the keychain he wants, and in the next one, they share a meal of yakisoba, two pairs of chopsticks in one box, and Watanuki wipes sauce off Dōmeki's face for him. Sometimes Dōmeki just tunes out when Watanuki gets going about whatever terrifying assignment he's on now, he is fairly sure such stories aren't meant to be processed by the human mind. So it isn't until Watanuki mentions for the 50th time that he's here because Yuko sent him to fetch dinner that it all clicks. That's when Dolmeki looks into Watanuki's smiling face and thinks, God, what have I done? Is something wrong, Dolmeki? Watanuki asks him. It's loop number 60, and Dolmeki is still keeping his distance. His sudden removal clearly hasn't gone unnoticed. Not sure what you mean, Dolmeki says, because he's a coward. Ah. Watanuki purses his lips and shrugs. Sorry, forget I said anything. They go on eating their separate boxes of yakisoba. Watanuki chewing thoughtfully and Dolmeki vacuuming his down to avoid answering any more questions. Fireworks explode in the distance, beautiful patterns of electric green and white. But Dolmeki has seen them dozens of times at this point, so he doesn't even glance up. It's just that... Watanuki starts. He looks down at this food, picking at the pieces of fried onion with his chopsticks. You like spending time with me, don't you? You're not just, I don't know, being nice. Damn it, Dolmeki thinks. In all his efforts to find some kind of ethical high ground, he is turned into the exact guy that a Dolmeki from a previous loop was planning on shooting with an arrow. I do like spending time with you, he says. But I don't want you to feel like I'm forcing you to. Like Yuko and her wish-granting magic is forcing you to. What? Watanuki snorts. No! I've been spending all this time wondering why the coolest guy in our class is hanging around with a weirdo like me. You're not a weirdo, Dolmeki says, and then, in an attempt to cover all his bases, I like weird. Oh. Watanuki turns a little pink, and then decides he's done answering questions too, and begins stuffing his face with yakisoba. Next time we'll get a big one to share, Dolmeki says. You know, to save money. Yeah, smart, Watanuki says, through a face full of noodles. And that should be disgusting. That should be really gross. But God help him, Dolmeki is charmed, and he crumples up a napkin to wipe the sauce off Watanuki's chin. I won't learn how to actually shoot this thing if you keep deliberately losing to me, Watanuki grumbles. Dolmeki slowly blinks, because he knows by now that it secretly drives Watanuki crazy. And how do you think getting trounced will improve your aim exactly? Well, condescension isn't helping either. Please, young sirs, if you wouldn't mind stepping aside to let the next couple have a turn. The man at the booth pleads, ushering them along. From the sound of his voice, he's repeated the request a few times while they've been arguing. I apologize for our behavior, Dolmeki says with a slight bow. Unbelievable. Watanuki marches over to grab the little keychain Dolmeki won in the first round, when he wasn't pretending to lose, shoots Dolmeki an evil glare, and stalks off in a huff. Dolmeki closes his eyes and counts his breaths. Watanuki's greatest and most annoying quality is his independence. If he's not apologizing for something he has no control over, he is refusing help when he needs it most. It is absolutely maddening. Hey, are you gonna go after your boyfriend or not? Dolmeki turns a carefully blank face to the couple behind him. He's not my boyfriend. The woman offers him a grimace of sympathy, while the man raises his eyebrows. Okay, well, your not boyfriend just left out the gates, if you care to know. So he decided to run back to the shop. Fine. Watanuki wants independence? Dolmeki has no problem with taking this loop off. They could use some time apart. They have spent literally every single day together for the equivalent of months now. Not that Watanuki knows that. If he has to admit it, Dolmeki is sick of festival food. He is tired of mildly pleasant diversions and getting to know you chatter. He is tired of shooting the damn arrow. He has been walking shoulder to shoulder with Watanuki through the festival streets and meeting his classmates' eyes to practically dare them to start rumors at school tomorrow. But there won't be any school tomorrow because it will always be April 1st. He'll never be able to date Watanuki properly because for Watanuki, it will always be their first. It's everything he wants and nothing. Well played indeed, Yuko-san. He growls under his breath and decides to go to bed. Tomorrow is a new day, sort of. Dolmeki checks his watch again to make sure he's not hallucinating. It's time for the archery demonstration, and Watanuki isn't here. Watanuki is always here. For all the variations in each loop, this is how they meet. Something is wrong. His uncle taps the drum impatiently next to him, urging him to get on with it. Dolmeki ties on his shooting glove and finally raises the bow above his head to line up the target. It isn't the same without Watanuki here. Dolmeki has no incentive to add any of his little flourishes, the ritual of folding the sleeve, the display of strength with the longbow. And when Dolmeki finally does shoot the arrow, it's off target. Not the bullseye that Dolmeki has drilled since the winter to sink consistently. Still, his uncle gives him a triumphant drum roll, and then a softer, nearly imperceptible tap for reassurance. His uncle is a good guy, even if he's the April 1st version of his uncle forever. No, that's not right. Dolmeki's uncle deserves better than to beat a drum for the rest of his life. He deserves to laugh, cry, make mistakes, be happy, and grow old. Dolmeki doesn't know why he's let this go on for so long. He has to end it. And he knows exactly where to go. Taking a break, he says, and puts the bow in its sleeve. And then he says, "Thanks, Uncle." Because even if tomorrow is the same day as today and no one remembers anything, Dolmeki's words and actions affect them right now. Dolmeki can remember to be kind, to be considerate, to be brave. He has to be brave. His uncle claps him on the shoulder and gives him a little shake. "Take all the time you need." Yuko's house is perpetually in early summer, the wisteria blooming heavy along the roof. That should have been his very first clue that she was more powerful than she seemed. Existing outside of time and never growing old was the stuff of Japanese folktales, and there was always a price. A promise to never unlock a forbidden box, open a secret door. But living forever was not a wish, but a curse. He finds Yuko reclining next to the koi pond with a book and her pipe. Curly cues of smoke paint the air with strange shapes and letters. "Dolmeki-kun, I didn't expect you so soon."
"Fine, you're right. I got what I wanted, and I don't want it."
Dolmeki grits out.
"Now how do I unwish it?"
Yuko raised an eyebrow. "What you wanted? What do you mean?" He can't believe she's making him say this out loud.
"You know. You saw. When I came here, you know how I feel about him."
The tilt of Yuko's head betrays nothing. "Watanuki-kun is very lucky to have you by his side. I think he'll need you now more than ever."
"Why would he need me?" Dolmeki demands. "I did this to him, and I'm here asking you to help me for his sake."
"Oh, Dolmeki-kun, you don't quite understand, do you?" Dolmeki says nothing. Yuko taps the front of her teeth with her pipe. "You're a problem solver. I like that. Too much of a blunt instrument to suit me personally. But maybe in such times we require swords to unravel tricky knots." She blows out a stream of smoke, which twists on itself to form a circle. Another puff, and it begins to turn on its axis.
This is you, isn't it? The Ouroboros, the perpetual motion wheel. I know it quite well in my own way.
She pokes the end of her pipe into the stream of smoke. The spinning ring slows, feathering off as if it can no longer hold its shape. With another wave of her pipe, it vanishes.
Now, she said, do you see? You are a clever boy, Dolmeki Shizuka, just like your grandfather. I'm sure you can tell me.
She's baiting him. Dolmeki tries to ignore it and thinks back to the circle. You disrupted its momentum, and it fell apart. The belled bracelet on Yuko's wrist jingles with applause.
Oh, very good. I can see why Watanuki likes you.
And what exactly is keeping your circle spinning, Yuko-san? He asks, just because he can, because that comment about his grandfather stings. Yuko clucks.
I like you, Dolmeki-kun, but don't get fresh, or else I'll forget to tell you what to do next.
Dolmeki only has to think for two beats. Watanuki.
Yes.
Where is he? Do you know?
Yuko shrugs expansively. You came here to find him, Dolmeki-kun. So where do you think he is?
Damn it. Dolmeki stands up, swears, and leaves the shop to run back across the city. Watanuki. Dolmeki toes off his shoes and pads into Ryukoji Temple on nearly frozen feet. Just because the cherry blossoms are blooming doesn't mean the rest of the early spring weather is following suit. Oi! Watanuki! At his shout, a sudden breeze sets all the golden chimes above the main altar to singing.
My name isn't Oi.
Watanuki grumbles from where he's huddled in on himself on one of the cushions in the corner by himself. Likely he would have waited here all night for Dolmeki, despite the fact that he has a phone and could have very well texted him. Once again, as always, Watanuki is suffering dramatically for no good reason while refusing any help, and Dolmeki is so, so glad to see him again.
Damn you,
Dolmeki says, and pulls him into his arms. Watanuki blows out a breath and relaxes into him instinctively, which makes Dolmeki's heart do funny things. Watanuki is shivering, his school uniform no match for the chilly open-air room, and Dolmeki sees in his bloodless face some kind of glazed, wide-eyed fatigue, exhaustion that's looped right around into mania. He says, "Come on, there's blankets in my room." He takes Watanuki by the hand to lead him back to the temple quarters in the next building over. Watanuki, for his part, seems perfectly content to be led, and even curls his fingers with Dolmeki's to make sure he doesn't change his mind and let go.
I saw Himawari-chan, he says. I've been avoiding her till now.
Himawa, Kunogi's here.
He can't believe he almost forgot about Kunogi. But if she was at the festival, he would have seen her by now. What's Watanuki playing at?
Watanuki nods. I thought for the longest time that if I never talked to her, then nobody gets hurt. But today I realized I needed to have the courage.
Dolmeki slides open the door of his room and shepherds Watanuki inside. Sit, he says, pointing to a cushion on a low table where he does his homework. Soon, he has Watanuki bundled up in a quilted futon. Watanuki's feet are in his lap, and Dolmeki preoccupies himself with squeezing the tension from them as Watanuki continues.
She told me she's unlucky, that everyone around her is cursed. She's afraid I'll get hurt if I continue being her friend. I asked her to stay. It's all right, isn't it, if you're around? She said it's safe around you.
Watanuki shakes his head. No, I know that it's not all right, binding yourself like that to another person. But I told Himawari-chan
I wanted to help. I said I could...
Dolmeki's heart sinks for a moment. But she said she loves herself, that she's happy to keep living if she can make more memories like she did with us.
Good for you, Kunogi, Dolmeki thinks with a swell of pride. She really is one of the strongest people he's ever met. Maybe one day he'll be able to see her again and tell her that in person.
You have to love yourself, too,
Dolmeki says, and then holds up a finger when Watanuki tries to argue.
No, listen to me. You have to love yourself. You have to continue existing, Watanuki. Even if life is difficult or you feel alone, you won't be alone,
Dolmeki imagines a circle of smoke dissipating into the ether.
I like you, Watanuki. Please let me be by your side.
At this point, Watanuki is staring at him open-mouthed, and the blanket has fallen from his shoulders. All traces of exhaustion evaporate from his face as he squares his shoulders and flings the futon fully off.
You'll forget this in the next loop, but I will regret it for the rest of my life if I don't do this,
he declares, and crawls into Dolmeki's lap to mash his mouth down onto his. It is, objectively, a terrible kiss. Neither of them have any experience kissing outside of manga or watching movies, but Watanuki's lips are soft and his body is warm. Dolmeki has been wanting for months to do this. They both end up underneath the futon next to each other. Watanuki grumbles and twists when Dolmeki kisses down his throat to suck a hickey into the skin.
Careful. We don't want to show up tomorrow in homeroom like this.
God, what Dolmeki wouldn't give to go to school, to eat boring rice and vegetables and do chores and homework. What he wouldn't give to lead an ordinary life. Dolmeki expresses these sentiments by sucking on Watanuki's neck harder, until Watanuki slaps the back of his head and scolds him. Now I'm going to have to wear a scarf or something. It says something concerning about Dolmeki's psyche that he enjoys Watanuki's complaining at this point.
You hear me? I can't pull off a scarf. I don't have the neck-to-head ratio. Is that how you want me to start off the new semester? Hey!
You're a noisy guy, Dolmeki complains, and shuts Watanuki up with his mouth. After an embarrassingly long time of staring up at the ceiling, Dolmeki's brain finally comes back online, and he seizes Watanuki's hand in a death grip.
Wait, what did you say?
Hmm? Sorry? Watanuki blinks blearily on the floor next to him.
Anything in particular? Do you mean when I said I liked it when you-
No. Dolmeki's stomach does a funny little swoop, and another brain cell leaks out of his ears. He blinks and tries to pull himself together.
I mean, in the beginning, when you said I would forget this in the next loop.
Oh. After all the things they've just done, it's this question that makes Watanuki flustered.
No, it's fine. Forget I said anything. I mean, you will anyway.
Dolmeki rolls over so he can stare Watanuki in the face.
Watanuki, what do you mean? What do you mean, I'll forget?
I mean... Watanuki covers his face with both hands.
I mean that I made a dumb deal with a spider witch to have a perfect life, and now you're in my time loop, and I don't know how to fix it, okay?
No, Dolmeki says slowly, feeling like he's on the verge of an epiphany. He pulls Watanuki's hands away from his tomato-red face.
I'm not in your time loop. You're in mine.
Watanuki does an excellent impression of a sputtering car engine attempting to turn over.
I'm in your... So you remember everything. You knew it was April 1st every day. And when exactly was I supposed to find this out?
Dolmeki shrugs diplomatically.
You're finding out now?
Oh my god, you are impossible! Watanuki grabs him by the ears. Why have we been wasting our time kissing when we could be breaking out of this dumb time loop and going on actual dates?
Dates?
Now Dolmeki is very interested.
Where exactly? When?
You are too easy, Watanuki says, like it's a bad thing, and, tragically, pushes off the blanket and rolls to his feet. Come on, grab your bow from the sacred temple. We have to go fight a spider witch, and possibly hundreds of demons that will destroy the world.
Sure, why not?
Dolmeki answers placidly, and follows. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this podfix post. And if you've enjoyed this podfic, you're welcome to leave me feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.